So we've gone through a process over the last several months of discerning our values as a church. What you value is what you hold most deeply, what's most important to you, and it guides all of your decision-making, it guides all of your behavior. And so we wanted to identify those values that exist within our church and have existed for a long time and give them some language and put them up and say, this is what we value, and rally around them to move forward into what God has for us. We're in our last week of presenting our five values. Week one, we talked about empowering leadership, that our leaders are servant leaders who work to empower and equip God's people to live out the call of God on their lives. It's not top-down authoritative leadership, but it's bottom-up serving God's people to be all that they can be. Week two, we talked about spiritual vitality, that this is about fostering the life-giving power and presence of the Holy Spirit who works in our lives to transform us to become more like Jesus. People and churches and organisms with vitality are healthy and they grow. We value spiritual vitality. Thirdly, we value strategic partnerships. We build partnerships with missionaries and churches and other Christian organizations locally and globally so that together we can accomplish more than we could ever do by ourselves. That's one of the reasons Gene comes up here every month to remind us of those strategic partnerships we have around the world, the missionaries that we support. Last week, Pastor Joe told us about our value of prioritizing people. People are a priority for us. People are a priority of our programs. We are not an organization as a church. We are a gathering. We are a community of God's people. And that's what our priority is. We're building people together. We take the teachings of Jesus seriously when he told us the most important thing for us to do is to love one another. And so today we go to our final value. For the final big reveal, we value blessing our community. We value blessing our community. So what's this all about? You know, when Rebecca and I moved here in end of January last year, we left a lot of friends and family behind. We've got lots of family in Victoria, and we had built some friendships over a long time. And people we valued and miss deeply, we still can communicate. Obviously, technology is very helpful, but there's something very different when it comes to presence with people. You know, you lose someone, it's like getting a wound. There's pain, and there's a healing process, and it's a difficult challenge to go through. But on the other hand, as much as we were losing people that we left behind, they lost us as well. And so our friends were sad to see us go. And so we had many tearful goodbyes with family and friends and doing our best to keep relationships going, but it's just not the same. And I remember having a thought through the whole process. I thought, well, I'm glad they're actually going to miss us. Like, I'm glad that they're actually sad. I was never so happy that people were sad, right? Because there's nothing worse than not being missed. Oh, you're moving? See ya, right? Like, I just thought, well, that's kind of a blessing that they're actually going to miss us. You know, if you watch The Wizard of Oz, you know, the Wicked Witch of the East, I think was the first witch who got crushed under the house, right? And then all those people came out and they celebrated her death. And they had already pre-choreographed a song. Like they weren't sitting around thinking, oh, she's dead, let's write a song. No, they had the song ready along with a dance and everything. So if people are preparing a song and a dance, preparing for you to leave, you're not going to be missed, and that's not a good thing, right? So we just felt like, oh, I mean, we're sad to go, but it's nice to be missed. And so the question we've actually been asking ourselves in this process when it talks about blessing our community is this. Let's kind of take it from this angle. If Bethel Church one day were to disappear off the face of the planet, would our community miss us? Would our community miss us, or would they have the song and dance all choreographed and ready to go? See, we want to be the kind of church, not that it's about ourselves, not that it's about personal glory, but we want to be the kind of church that makes this community a better place to live because we exist. We want to be the kind of church where people are more blessed because of our presence than they would be without us here. And if not, we're not the church of Jesus Christ. If not, we're not being what God has called us to be. So we need to ask ourselves, if we disappeared, if I disappeared from my neighborhood, would my neighbors be more blessed or less blessed? Would they miss me? We want to be a church that is a blessing to our community. So Jesus started this church not as a social club, not as something that would only benefit its members, but Jesus started the church as a community of blessing, which brought cultural, social, economic, and spiritual transformation to the world. We value blessing our community. Our goal is to bless. Our orientation is to bless. Our passion is to bless. The big idea is this, that God has called us to be a people of blessing who make the world a better place. We take every opportunity to serve sacrificially and practice radical generosity, all for the glory of God. You know, one comedian once said that when people around him sneeze, he doesn't say bless you, he says, God bless you. He says, because I can't do that. He says, God bless you. And that's the key to being a blessing, is that blessing does not flow from us. Blessing flows from God through us to the world. And if we're trying in our own strength to be a blessing, we will run out of blessing. But if we experience the blessing of God flowing through us, then we will never run out of blessing to share with the world, to share with our community. So that is the first question. What is God's blessing? You need to understand what God's blessing is so that we can understand how to be conduits of that blessing to our community. So God's blessing started with a promise a long time ago. God called a man named Abraham to be the father of a new nation of people through whom he would bless the whole world. This is what we've since called the Abrahamic covenant, God's deal between himself and Abraham. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 5, we see this covenant coming through. It says, the Lord said to Abram, now don't get worried about the difference in name. Abram was his name and he became Abraham. Abram meant father. Abraham means father of many. Abram meant daddy. Abraham means big daddy, right? Like Abraham became a father, but through his lineage came an entire nation of people. So he became the father of many. So he says to Abram, he says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. How many here know that sometimes to receive the blessing of God, you first have to leave something behind? First, you need to leave so that you can receive from God. And many times we're hanging on to so many things, and we're hanging on to so many of our desires that we are too full to receive God's blessing. I mean, just have the picture of just having your arms full of so many things, and you're pleading for God for his blessings, and he goes, I don't even know where to put it. There's just no room. We got to drop our junk. We got to drop our stuff so that we can receive from God. Abraham could not live in the promised land if he was still living with his family and in his original home. He had to leave that place so he could step in to the blessing of God. We too need to be willing to leave things behind, leaving comfort behind, leaving our fears behind, leaving our pride at the door so that we can be blessed by God. It says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Before I bless you, you need to leave. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Lot was his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Do you know you're never too old to be blessed? You know that it's never too late to start a new life? Abraham was not a great man until after he turned 75. Abram was not the father of many until after his 75th birthday. It was at that point where God changed his life radically. It's never too late for God to get a hold of you and change your life and turn you into a blessing to all nations. God says to him, leave, I'll bless you, I'll make you great, the whole world will be blessed through you. So God's plan was to take this one man And through this one man, the whole world would receive a blessing. So part of this Abrahamic covenant was really about the nation of Israel. That God, through Abraham, came the nation of Israel. And God has blessed the world through that nation. And those who bless Israel are blessed. And I believe that is still true today, but I also see in this passage a very specific emphasis. He says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed. So this isn't about our blessing. This is about all people on earth being blessed through the lineage of Abraham. There's a lot of ways the world has been blessed by Israel, but the primary way is the spiritual blessing of Jesus Christ. That through Israel, the world has been given access to a relationship with God, and the greatest blessing the world has ever received is Jesus Christ, who came as a man, who was born under the law, as a Jew, came into the world, and has blessed the entire world. Galatians 3 is a very important commentary. One of the things I love about the Bible is that it interprets itself. And so you look at the Abrahamic covenant, and then you read Galatians 3, and Paul is commenting on the Abrahamic covenant. You can see several verses in there. Verse 9 and 16 are very key. Verse 29 is a very good summary. It says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? Blessing. You are heirs to the blessing. If you are in Christ, you become a descendant of Abraham. You become part of that community which God is blessing the whole world through. He says, I will bless you. Those who bless you will be blessed. All peoples will be blessed through you. Why? Why? Because you belong to Jesus Christ. You have Jesus in you. He is the great blessing the world has received through Abraham, and there's more than enough of him for us to share. We are heirs according to the promise of blessing. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Where is it found? In Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. We are blessed through that. Redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, understanding, adoption, holiness. This is what this passage goes on to talk about as the blessings we've received from God. You know, we're blessed in a lot of ways. I mean, just living in North America and having the things that you and I have means that we are basically in the top 10% of the entire world as far as material possessions. And you know, God loves to bless us in all kinds of ways, and one of the ways he does bless us is through physical, material, financial means. You know, just last weekend, on Saturday, I was speaking to a group of university students at their retreat, University Christian Ministries, and Matt Duffy is one of our prayer partners, and he runs that ministry. So I was speaking to this group, and Rebecca and I kind of double-booked our weekend, and I was supposed to go there all day Saturday, and she was going to Victoria. And so we had someone watch Reuben and Emmeline, our two oldest. Rebecca took our youngest to Victoria. So I had someone watching our two oldest on the Saturday. And I was going to pay them $100 to watch the kids, and I'd go. And the guys had told me, Dave, we're going to give you a little thank you. We're going to give you, you know, a bit of an honorarium to come. And I know that University Christian Ministries is not a wealthy organization. So I was like, oh, they'll probably, you know, give me $100. They'll cover my gas money and, you know, a little bit of a thank you. That'll be great. So I thought I'd basically just cover the babysitting. And then Rebecca comes home from Victoria and she had a bit of a fiasco. Missed her flight, had to purchase another flight, $300, right? So here between babysitting and the extra flight, $400, we were out. We're like, wow. So I checked the check I got from University Christian Ministries. Can you guess how much it was? That's right. That's right. Like, God just blesses, doesn't he? Like, he just blesses us. And I mean, that's just the most recent one for me. That's just the most recent blessing of God in my life. And he loves to bless us in so many ways. But you know what? I think the physical, financial, material blessings are like the least of the blessings of God. I just think he has so much bigger and better blessings in heaven for me and for you than just physical, financial, material blessings. Often we're just chasing that stuff, and there's preachers out there trying to get us to chase that stuff. But I think his blessings are so much greater than that. Do you know that most people who win the lottery end up in worse financial state afterwards than before. Because they don't know how to handle it. They buy a whole bunch of liabilities and all the taxes and all the payments on that stuff later on. Just totally ruin them. Additionally, I mean, the relatives show up. The friends get friendlier. And all that just becomes really challenging and difficult. And that big blessing becomes a curse. You know, many people who aren't married yet, they're just their big dream and their big prayer, God, I really want a spouse. And marriage is a blessing. But it's also hard. It's also a challenge. It's also very difficult. And in the end, a lot of people call it a curse. Right? You know, big house, fancy car, awesome. Ooh, property taxes, repairs, maintenance, curse. Right? I just don't think the physical blessings are the best blessings that God has. I just think He has got something so much deeper, so much more rich for us to experience. Jesus says that our earthly treasures will get destroyed by moths and rust, but heavenly treasures are untouchable. Spiritual treasures are transcendent. See, you'll never feel like forgiveness is a curse. You'll never feel like the grace of God is a burden. God's love and His acceptance will never become bitter. Salvation will never turn stale. Heaven's lights never dim. We will never see the spiritual blessings of God, the blessings that transform our lives from the inside out. We'll never see that as a curse. Those are the deeper, richer, more powerful blessings of God. His blessing is way more, way better, way more beautiful than anything this world has to offer. And His greatest blessing through Abraham, through the nation of Israel, to the whole world is Jesus Christ. And in Him and through Him, all blessings flow. That's the blessing of God. So the second question after this is, if God blesses first His people who are then responsible to be a blessing of the world, okay, now how do we get blessed? How do we experience the blessings of God, whether it's material blessing or spiritual blessings? How do we unlock that? How do we experience that blessing? The book of Jeremiah is a challenging read at times, but it also provides us with some of the most amazing images and passages in the Bible. One of the best known passages in the whole Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of you, I'm sure, could recite it or some version of it by heart. But it reads like this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." It's a beautiful verse. It's an amazing promise. It's a promise of blessing. It's a promise of hope and a future, and that God's desire is to bless us and prosper us. But sometimes, as we quote this verse, we actually totally forget the context of the verse, which gives us a clue as to how to unlock and receive this blessing. And maybe right now, think through it, and I'm with you there. It wasn't that long ago that I finally was looking at this verse and going, oh, there's context. There's something going on here historically that means something to this passage. What's going on here is the nation of Israel had been conquered out of judgment for their sins. The Babylonians had come and they had conquered the nation and they had taken people out of Israel and they had taken them to Babylon, exiles out of their home, living in foreign places. And out of that came this promise from God. But what happened also was there was a prophet who came, Hananiah, who gave a false prophecy. And he said, "Hey guys, hey, we just got here. We're not going to be here long. We're going to be home in less than 2 years. Don't even unpack your suitcases. Don't settle down. Don't get jobs. Don't buy houses. Don't make friends with the Babylonians. Just stay separate. We're going to be home really soon." And all kinds of false prophets were in the world then. They're still in the world now, trying to talk about the end times, trying to talk about this or that. And, you know, if the Old Testament law was still in practice, we'd have a lot of stonings to do at times, right? But people are going to try to distract us, try to get us to separate, try to get us to do all kinds of crazy things. And Jeremiah actually comes and he does something amazing. The prophet says this wonderful thing: "Hey, we'll be back in 2 years. Great news." Jeremiah says, "Amen." He says, "That would be awesome." But he says, "Actually, that's not going to happen." He says, "I have a word from the Lord. I have a word from the Lord for you." So we back up from verse 11 and we go to verse 4. He says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. Don't we encourage some of these guys to tell us the things that we want to hear? Right? We encourage them because we buy all their books, we spend all the money on them, and then they can do it again next time. I should stop because I'm just going to get all ornery and in trouble here. Verse 9, they are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is a beautiful promise. This is God saying, it's not over. You guys messed up and this has happened, but it's not over for you. There's good things in store for you. Even in this place of exile, I have good things in store for you. You see, we similarly are not living in our ultimate true home. We are not currently living in the promised land, as wonderful as the Okanagan is. This is not the promised land. Our promised land is a new creation. Our promised land is eternity in paradise. And so we are not at home right now. We are sojourners, the scriptures say. We are awaiting our heavenly Lord to come and get us and give us that ultimate future home. So in the meantime, while we're here, what do we do? Do we keep our suitcases packed? Do we lock ourselves up? Do we separate from the community? Do we just try to huddle and be safe? Or, as verse 7 says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Do you see how this is a fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant? I will bless you so that you can be a blessing, and all peoples will be blessed through you. We often have this escapist theology where we're just trying to get out of here, but no, God says you're where you are for a reason. Be a blessing. Be a blessing where you are. The word used in this passage for prosperity is shalom. It's not really a word that is easily translated into a single English word. We often translate it as peace, but it's really a wholeness, it's a wellness, it's a total peace and wellness in every aspect of life. So this tells us to work for the city's cultural, economic, social, spiritual flourishing, that they are to work for the city to flourish and become a better place because of their presence than it would be without them. See, God tells us to seek the shalom of our city, to bless, to seek the prosperity of our city. And you know what the crazy thing is? Babylon was no Mayfield. Any Leave It to Beaver fans? They lived in Mayfield. I give a lot of cultural references to the youth and young adults, but I'll throw my senior citizens a bone once in a while. I am young, but I watched some Leave It to Beaver growing up. Babylon was no wonderful black and white place where everyone was moral and good and amazing and the Israelites agreed on every social issue with them. No, they had plenty of things to disagree about. They had plenty of things to be upset about. There was plenty of moral issues that really irked the Israelites. But God says, even if you disagree with them, your orientation toward disagreement, your orientation toward cultural differences is to be a blessing. Is to be a blessing. To be a blessing. Seek the prosperity. Seek the peace. Seek the shalom of the city. Jesus says to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. And I think often we respond with, but what if they, and Jesus goes, did I stutter? I mean, did you hear what I just said? I just dealt with every single category. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. He says in Matthew 5:3, Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. 1 Peter 13:14 says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Seek the blessing of the people who are around you. My blessing does not come from seeking my own blessing. My blessing comes as a side effect of seeking the blessing of those who are around me. You know, we see this principle all over the place. God's forgiveness is absolutely and completely available to us. But Jesus says, you know what? You won't receive it if you're not willing to forgive others. He says, if you don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive you. So start with being a blessing to others before seeking your own forgiveness, before just being all about your own needs, but not caring about forgiving others. He says, forgive others, and that same process, forgiveness, comes into your own life. God says about our finances in Malachi, he says, I have nothing but financial blessings for you. But he says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. You know, be faithful with what I've given you, and you will see the floodgates of heaven flow, and you won't be able to hold my blessings. But he says, instead, we often rob him, and we take what he's given us and keep it all to ourselves. It's the same principle. My blessing doesn't come by hoarding and just seeking my own blessing. My blessing comes by opening up my hands and being a blessing to others. See, you and I are blessed to be a blessing, which means you're blessed when you're a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing, which means we're blessed when we're a blessing. That's how our blessing comes. So how can we do that? How can we practically be a blessing? Do you remember when you were single, those of you who are married, or maybe some of you who are single still, and you were looking for Mr. and Mrs. Right, and you had the list? You had, you know, 1 to 10. This is what my dream woman is. And I'm going to find her, and as soon as I meet her, I'm going to pull out the list and hold it up beside her and go, yep, yep. Like, is that really what we think someone is attracted to? Like, if you're out on a date, young man, if you're out on a date with a girl and you're sitting there, you're going, baby, 1 to 4, you're doing great. But your big weakness is 5. So tell me, what are you doing to work on this? Because if you get 5 down, you might be the one. Like, do we really think a list is the way to go? You know what? Women are not looking for a guy with a list. Women are looking for a guy with a job. Let's start there. Button up your shirt, pants up, let's, you know. We got the list, but you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? Churches, we have lists too. And we look out at our community and we go, okay, in this way, they align with our values. In this way, they're not being immoral. Okay, this is good. Oh, man, but 5 and 6, let's get out there. Let's yell at them. Let's judge them until they change their behavior. But what does God say we are to do living among the Babylonians? Bless. Seek their prosperity. Seek their shalom. Because in that, you will be blessed. You know what happens when churches are a blessing to their community? Instead of the orientation of judgment and self-righteousness, the orientation to bless is to see flourishing happen, and people see that out of that community, out of something that's going on in that church, out of something that's going on in those believers, they disagree with me, but they still love me, they disagree with me, but they're still generous with me. That's how people's lives change. I mean, look at Jesus Christ. Did he sit from heaven and say, these are the things you aren't doing right, get 5 done or else I won't come down there and bless you? He said, no, there's all kinds of things you're doing wrong, so I'm going to come, I'm going to be a blessing, I'm going to serve, I'm going to give my life for you. That's what changed the world. We need to orient ourselves as people of blessing. Craig Rochelle says, the church does not exist for us. We are the church. We exist for the life of the world. So we need a vision, not just for a great church, but a great community. We don't want to just have a great church. We don't just want to seek our blessing as a church and not also seek the blessing of the community. But if we seek the blessing of the community first, we will be blessed. We will see people saved. We will see people baptized and discipled and grown. And our church's influence will continue to expand. We're blessed to be a blessing, so we are blessed when we are a blessing. 4 quick ways we can be a blessing. Number one is through our words. Encourage someone. I mean, one of the ways God's challenged me just recently is in the grocery store at the checkout. You know, sometimes I just treat that person like a robot. Just scan my stuff, take my money, and let me go. But here I have 5 minutes standing there with a stranger, and I can ask them questions about their life and encourage them and say thank you and tell them that they're doing a great job. Use our words. We can use our prayers to be a blessing. We pray for our neighbors, right? This passage says that as well. Pray for them. Pray for their blessing, not their cursing. Pray for them to be blessed and prosper and have peace. Secondly, our deeds. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, be rich in good deeds. Get your hands dirty. Go to work. Help someone mow a lawn, paint a fence, volunteer at a community event. Get signed up to volunteer in a ministry after the service. We can do these things today. We can encourage someone with our words today. We can encourage someone with our deeds today. The third thing we can do today is bless people with our resources. 1 Timothy 6:18 continues. It says, be rich in good deeds. And it says, be generous and willing to share. This includes how we support the ministries of our church financially so that our ministries can be a blessing to the community, but also just means just being generous with your neighbors, having people over for barbecues and dinner, and just being willing to have an open hand. Fourthly, we can offer spiritual blessings. We can forgive people. We can offer people grace. You know, there are few things that really mark a real Christian better than their ability to fully and finally forgive. Like there are very few things that are different, that different about us and our ability to forgive. And I just don't always see it. I see vendettas, I see anger, I see grudges held. But we are fully and finally forgiven in Christ, and we need to let that flow out of us to others. You know, Jesus is the ultimate blessing. He lost the blessing of his home to come and give us a home. He had lost the blessing of a relationship with the Father so that we could be blessed with a relationship with the Father. He lost the blessing of his righteousness and his perfection. He took our sin on the cross so that we could be blessed with forgiveness and mercy and grace and wholeness and healing. He gave up his blessings so that we could be blessed. So that's why he's our Lord. That's why he's our Savior. That's why we respond to him with thanksgiving and worship and praise, because he has blessed us so richly. And every spiritual blessing comes to us in Christ. And in him, we are the heirs of the promise of blessing, the blessed people who exist to bless people. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much. You have blessed us in every way through Christ. We are heirs of the promise of blessing. And that these many blessings you've given us, God, our job is not to hang on to them and hoard them, but to just let them flow by us and through us to be a blessing to our community. God, I pray that you would just give us a heart for our community. Help us to love our community so incredibly. Give us wisdom in every situation to discern what it means to bless and encourage and lift up and love. And I pray somehow through that, God, you would do mighty work, that your job would be to convict. We'd let you be the one who judges. We'd let you be the one who transforms hearts. And God, we believe that as we bless, you will do the work of changing lives. So God, we pray for our city. We pray for their prosperity. We pray for peace. We pray for hope. We pray for provision, Lord, for those who are struggling. Lord, we pray for our government workers, Lord God, our civil authorities, our mayor, and everyone else who works to serve the city, Lord, that they'd have wisdom, that they'd have courage, they'd have strength to do the right thing. God, help us to be a blessing. Help us to lift up and courage, and I pray that our prayers would be filled with love and encouragement and hope for this community. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.